turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Book of Luke, chapter 17. I'd like to read verses 11 through verse 19. It came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." What we have here is 10 people healed at one time in one place of the most dreadful disease of that day. The passage opens in verse 11, and it came to pass as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He was going there for the purpose of laying down his life in the place of his sinful people, to finish the work which he had come into this world to do. So he's on his way to Jerusalem, and in verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village," that would put him on the outskirts of this particular village as he entered into. So he's on the outskirts of this village. And on the outskirts of this village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And they stood afar off, that is, from Christ at this point. The reason that these 10 leprous men were on the outskirts of the village, and the reason they stood afar off, was because that's what Mosaic law required. There was a system of exclusion that was enforced upon those who had leprosy. They were shut out from their race. So this is a very sad picture, these 10 men on the outskirts of the city. We don't know how long they were there. We don't know anything about that, but they were on the outskirts of this city. Now, leprosy, of course, in Bible times was a disease that caused great horror and really great disgust in people. If you were diagnosed with leprosy, that would be a very crushing blow in Bible times. It meant, unless God intervened, you're going to die. And you're going to die a very slow and very painful death. The leper skin over time would become very hard. It would begin to crack, and it would be full of sores and scabs. Really, the flesh was literally rotting on their bodies, and fingers and toes would decay and in some cases even fall off. So it was a very disgusting disease for people to look upon. Their eyes would be greatly affected, usually resulting in blindness. Their tongues would be black, swollen, and ulcerated. But the worst part of being a leper is as you're suffering all of these things in your last days, you are excluded. You're excluded from your family. You are excluded from those whom you love and those who love you. You're excluded from the places of worship. You're excluded from all activities of society. And this is how you would live your last days upon earth. And they, of course, were required to wear a certain dress so that they could be identified. Because leprosy was very easily spread. And anytime someone would begin to get near them, they were to immediately cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And then, of course, people would know, "I need to stay away. This individual has leprosy." So they were literally outcast with no one to help as they waited for certain death. So the life of a leper is very, very sad. And as you look at these 10 men who are lepers, no doubt they're men most miserable. Again, we don't know at what stage they are in their leprosy. You see, lepers never went to a doctor. They were sent to a priest. He would diagnose if they had leprosy. And if God healed them, it was the priest who would declare that they had been healed and declare that they were clean and could go back into society. And this is why Jesus told them, go to the priest. Because he had healed them, and now it was the priest's responsibility to pronounce them clean where they could go back to their family. So there was no cure for leprosy outside of the direct intervention of God. So if you had leprosy and you didn't die from it, that was a miracle. If you had leprosy and you got over it, you knew that it was a miracle of God. Now, I believe that's true concerning anything that you and I get over. It's a miracle of God. But if you have leprosy, you know it. You know it. These 10 individuals, no doubt they're miserable. No doubt they're suffering. No doubt they are lonely. They would become disgusting and loathsome to anybody who would come near to them. And no doubt they had heard of Jesus Christ. They had heard how Jesus Christ had healed others, perhaps how he had healed other lepers. And realizing their own desperate need and believing that Jesus Christ could indeed heal them, when Jesus Christ entered into the outskirts of that city, we read in verse 13 that these 10 lepers lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, prior to that, they may have said, "Unclean, unclean." But they lifted up their voices to make sure that they were being heard. And we read in verse 14, "And when he, Jesus, saw them, that is, in their leprosy, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest." He prescribed no medicine. He didn't give them some washing ritual to go through. There was no outward means to go through. He simply told them to go to the priest. In other words, they would be healed, and the priest must pronounce them so. Verse 14, "And it came to pass as they went," no doubt believing, they then left the outskirts of the city. They are headed to the priest believing. But as they were passing to the priest, We read they were cleansed. They knew it. They knew it immediately. I mean, if you have leprosy and the Lord heals you, the healing is very, very evident. So the healing was very evident. We read in verse 15, and one of them, as he was on his way to the priest, he saw that he was healed. That is, he looked at his skin that had been full of sores and scabs. And they're all gone. All the risings in his skin, they're all gone. All the sores, all the scabs, all the rottenness, it's all gone. His skin is like new. And seeing that he had been healed, seeing that a life-changing miracle had taken place, he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed at what the Lord had done for him. With a heart filled with gratitude and humility that the Lord would bless him so, we read that he turned back. And remember, they lifted up their voices and said, Lord, have mercy on us. This man returned back and with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Jesus beheld this man. And he asked him a question. Were there not 10? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the other 9 who was healed just as much as you were healed? That have experienced a miracle in their life. Where are they? Well, they're on their way to the priest. On their way. What this tells us is there are always more who receive benefits than ever give thanks for them. Here it was 1 out of 10. I doubt it's that high today. But here it was 1 out of 10. Again, the lesson is there are far, far, far more who receive benefits and miracles from God every day than those who return to Him and give Him thanks. 10 persons healed of the dreadful disease of leprosy, and only one person kneeling down at the feet of Jesus and thanking Him for it. That raises the question, which category do we find ourselves most often? With the 9 or with the 1? Where do we find ourselves the most often? Oh, that we would every day join with this 1 and find time every single day to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. Doesn't commemorate a battle or anything like that. It doesn't commemorate anyone's birthday. It's simply a day set aside to express our thanks to God. To express our thanks to God. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't find anything wrong with Thanksgiving. There's nothing wrong with it. But the truth is, Every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. We ought to take the annual holiday of thanksgiving, and that ought to be our constant attitude. One of thanksgiving. It ought to be our constant, it ought to be our life. Thanks living. And that's how we ought to live. Giving thanks. So we want to speak this morning upon that subject, thanks living. Notice first of all, the nine has an example of ingratitude. None of us are as grateful as often as we should be. None of us are as grateful as we should be. Human beings are very ungrateful by nature. And we live in a very ungrateful society. Most parents today do not even teach their children to be grateful, to say thanks. And the majority of people have developed an entitlement attitude. So ingratitude is everywhere. Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Those are very solemn words. Those are heart-searching words. Those words are very instructive. Those words ought to greatly concern us. And those words ought to also trouble us. 10 men healed of the most dreadful disease, rescued from certain death, and 9 of them going their way without the least bit of thanks to the one who healed them. Now notice some characteristics of these 9 individuals. First of all, they certainly, just like the one, they certainly at some time, at some point in their trip to the priest, they noticed, hey, I'm feeling pretty good all of a sudden. And they sometime looked at their skin and all the sores and scabs are gone. At some point, they knew that they'd been healed. Now, I believe they knew at the same time this one did. I mean, he made a commotion, and if they hadn't looked before then, they certainly did then. But they too saw that they had been cleansed. They too could see that their sores and their scabs were gone. They too could see that they had been spared from a slow and agonizing death. But what did they do? They did what almost everyone does today. They continued on their way. They continued on their way without any thought. They had things to do. They had places to go. They were thoughtless. They did not stop and duly consider what had been done for them. How many days do we let go where we do not stop and duly consider what God has done in our lives? These 9 received a marvelous blessing, but they didn't even think to thank. How often do we think to thank? Or how often can it be said, well, you know, I didn't even think about it. Oh, how sad. But that's probably true. Well, you know, I just forgot. I feel bad, but I forgot. Well, you ought to feel bad. You ought to feel real bad. But do we feel bad enough to change? No. The next day we'll do the same thing again. We receive the blessings from God, And we don't even think to thank. And God sends us blessing upon their blessing, upon blessing. They went their way, and eventually, I believe, they lost sight of their benefactor. The one returned to Jesus. He never lost sight of his benefactor. But the others eventually lost sight of their benefactor. And when you lose sight of your benefactor, what happens? You become more and more callous to the blessings of God. And you begin to take the blessings of God for granted. So as time went on, they took for granted the blessings of God. These nine did not have a proper perspective. They did not fully realize what they had just received. They did not fully realize how good God was to them. Nor did they realize how unworthy they were that God would heal them of the leprosy. And you know, when we stop noticing, when we stop noticing the blessings of God, we stop appreciating the blessings of God. And when you stop appreciating the blessings of God, you stop thanking. And when you stop thanking, you start complaining. That's the cycle. We are in danger of not noticing. Not noticing. How often God pours His blessings down upon us and we don't notice. Isn't it a shame that we have to be reminded that we are blessed of God? It's the truth, though. It takes someone to remind us that we're blessed of God. Because naturally, we don't notice. We go through a day, and we don't notice the blessings of God. Paul classifies ingratitude as a sin. He classifies it with things that are absolutely abhorrent. Romans 1 verse 21, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. It is a sin that involves pride. It is a sin, of course, that involves discontent. Always wanting more, never have enough. It is a sin of selfishness. Thinking that we deserve more than we have. It is a sin of thoughtlessness. With it is an attitude of entitlement, complacency, and self-righteousness. And on you could go. There is a multitude of sins in the sin of ingratitude. The Lord said in Isaiah 1 and verse 3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know." That is, they have ceased to notice. And they do not consider. And many times, that's us. We do not notice. And we do not consider how blessed we are. But then look at this one who returned to give thanks. This man fully realized that Jesus Christ had delivered him from the dreadful plague of leprosy. From a slow and painful death. Why, if you and I were told tomorrow that we have some deadly disease, get your
things in order because you're not going to live much longer. And the next time you go back to the doctor, you're all better. The Lord healed you. Every one of us would thank God. I hope and I believe that every one of us would thank God. And we might be spiritual enough to thank God maybe for a whole week. But I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, the thanks stops. And we go back to our old ways, and we forget. And we do not even notice. We are an unthankful people by nature. But this man fully realized that he had been restored to health. Not only that, he had been restored to society. He could look at himself and he can say, I'm clean. But it gets better than that. He says, I can go home. I can go home. I can embrace my family. And my family can embrace me. You see, they lost those privileges once he was diagnosed with leprosy. And oh, how thankful. How thankful this man was. And with a heart filled with thanksgiving, he came running back to Christ and he fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he did so with a loud voice. And what an example this man gives us. But all through the Bible, we are exhorted to give thanks unto God. That bothers me. It bothers me when the Bible over and over in the book of Deuteronomy tells me to remember God. That bothers me. It bothers me that I would have to be reminded to remember God. It bothers me that I would have to be reminded to give thanks unto God. But you know, we're like the little child. When we raised our children, when you raised your children, those who are raising children, somebody gives your child something and you say what? Say thank you. And the child would respond, thank you. But most of the time, if you didn't tell them to say thank you, guess what? They're not saying it. And that's how we are. We have to be reminded to say thank you. And I often wonder with that little child, if you have to tell him to say thank you, does he really mean it? Does he really mean it? Probably not. And if you and I have to be told to say thank you to the Lord, and then we respond and give thanks, do we really mean it? Should it not be something we automatically do? Thank the Lord. We read in Psalm 50 in verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Psalm 92 in verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalm 100 in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So, we're to thank God. We're to enter into the house of God, thanking God, thanking God. Lord, that you changed my heart, that you gave me the desire to want to be here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That you gave me the health to be here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We ought to enter the house of God, giving thanks. But again, many enter as if they're being tortured. As if they're being punished for some great sin. But we're to give thanks. Paul spoke of the importance of giving thanks. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20 says, speak to yourselves
in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. Is there anything we don't understand about always? Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Oh, every now and then, we can give thanks for that which we think is good. But many times what we think is good isn't. And what we think is bad isn't. But we, every now and then, will give thanks for what we think is good. But the Bible says, give thanks in all things. Always. So tomorrow, if we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, Brother Dan, you have 2 weeks to live, I'm to bow my head and to say, thank you, Lord. That's how we're to live. Thank you, Lord. Well, what in the world would you have to thank God for? Thank you, Lord, for the life you've given me up to this point. Thank you, Lord, that when this life ends, I know where I'm going. Oh, there's always plenty to be thankful for. Now, don't go from here and say, Brother Dan goes to the doctor tomorrow and they tell him he's going to die in 2 weeks, he's going to give thanks. I didn't say that. I'm just like the rest of you. I'll probably have a pity party. But I'm saying that's what we ought to do. We ought to bow our head and we ought to give thanks unto God. That's true in everything. We may not understand it. We may not see any reason to give thanks for that particular situation. But there's always reason to bow our head and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because it could always be worse, I guarantee it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We make our request unto God, but God, Paul tells us there's a way that you are to make request unto God. You're to do it with thanksgiving. How often we go to God, we make demands of God. I want this, I want this, I want that. Lord, you've got to give me this. We're to make our request with thanksgiving. Now, if we get to thanking God for everything that He has given us and for all the blessings He's bestowed upon us, more than likely you're going to forget, by the time you get through that list, you're going to forget what you came to request. But we are to make our request with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many times you have heard people say, well, I'm really not sure what God's will is at this moment. There it is right there. It's God's will for you always to give thanks. That's always God's will. For you to bow your head and to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Many times Paul wrote those words, I thank God. Romans 1 verse 8, Romans 7, 25, 1 Corinthians 1, 4, 1 Corinthians 1, 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 18, Philippians 1, 3, and on we go. Paul wrote those words, I thank God. How often can it be said, I thank God? I thank God, fill in the blank. How thankful are we? How often do you find yourself saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I go back, and see old friends every now and then, and I can't help but say, thank you, Lord. God delivered me from such a mess. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving magnifies the Lord. Psalm 69 and 30 said, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. It's really the least we can do is to give thanks. And shall we be slack in that? We need to learn how to think thankfully. How to think thankfully. We need to learn how to act thankfully. How to talk thankfully. And with all thanksgiving, there ought to be joy. There ought to be gladness. There ought to be singing. There ought to be a sense of dependence upon the Lord. And a vivid realization of our own unworthiness. You see, that's the problem. That's really the root of the matter. We don't realize how unworthy we are. Because if we realized how unworthy we are, you could not help but give thanks. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 18. Then when King David sat before the Lord, we need to do that. Sit before the Lord. Sit in his presence. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Review your life. A lot has had to take place to bring you to Home Baptist Church on this Sunday morning. A lot has had to take place in your life to bring you here. God has brought us hitherto. And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, but oh, it should be a big thing in ours. O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. God knows us. He knows everything about us. And he blesses us anyway. We ought to just say, thank you, Lord. Not just for knowing me, but thank you, Lord, that you bless me when you do know me. Thank you, Lord. We have abundant reason to give thanks. There, of course, are all the spiritual reasons. Salvation. We could spend the rest of our life thanking God for salvation. But there ought not be a day that goes by that we do not thank God for saving our soul. Every day we ought to thank Him for saving our soul. How can we not thank Him for saving our soul? That every day I'm one day closer to glory. Ought to be thankful. Then of course we look at these lives that God has given us. We ought to be thankful. God has given us sight. And for 55 years I've been able to see wonderful things. Most of them taken for granted. Most of them we don't even notice. The Lord draws us beautiful pictures every day for us to look at. And sometimes we need to just stop and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me see that. Thank you, Lord. How many times God has given us hearing. And we've heard wonderful things throughout our life. We ought to thank God.
You say, well, there's times I hear things I don't want to hear. You ought to thank God that you weren't the one that said them. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from talking like that. See, there's always reason to give thanks. God has given us a sense of smell. That's a blessing. A sense of taste. Thank you, Lord. A sense of feeling. And on we could go. God has given us the ability to walk, to talk. And it's God's right to take that away at any time. And we could still say, thank you, Lord. God has given us the ability to think. And it's becoming more and more apparent that a lot of folks don't have that ability. So I'm thankful for those who do have the ability to reason and the ability to think. He's given us the ability to enjoy. He's given us the ability to laugh and to love and to be loved. He has sustained us to the present. We ought to fall at His feet and worship God. We ought to fall at His feet and thank God for the truth that He has taught us. The world today abounds with chaos. It's in the very grip of chaos. Morally, socially, economically, politically, this world is in a state of chaos and absolute confusion. And for most people living on the face of the earth today, life has more questions than it does answers. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you and I that know some truth, God has given us some answers. And we ought to thank God. God has given us some concrete guidelines, some concrete standards from which we can judge. We ought to thank God. Thank God that we have an eternal, incontestable, irrevocable standard to depend on. Most don't have that, folks. Most do not raise their children with that guideline. They're ignorant of it. Thank God that God has shown us some truth. And because of the truth that God has shown us, you take a child that knows the Lord as their Savior and has been taught some truth, and I'm telling you, they understand more about life than the so-called educated. They have more answers than the so-called geniuses of the day. You see, God gives us a window on the real issues. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful that we know the master of the wind. That we know the master of the storms. Yes, we're thankful for all the storms that God has calmed that we've been in. We ought to be thankful for all the storms that God has not allowed us to go into. Think of all the storms that you haven't experienced. I don't care how many storms you have experienced, there's far more that you haven't experienced. And you ought to thank God. And then you thank God of all the times. He didn't calm the storm, but He calmed your heart in the storm. Thank you, Lord. Thank God that we know the master of the wind. 10 persons healed of the dreadful disease of leprosy. And only one. Only one kneeling down at the feet of Jesus, thanking Him for it. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Which category do you find yourself most often in? At the feet of Jesus, with a heart of
humility, a heart of gratefulness, a heart of appreciation. Saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Try every single day. The moment you open your eyes to say, thank you, Lord. Do you realize what God had to do to get you through a night? Do you realize all the demonic activity that goes on through the evening? And God brought you safely through it. All the battles that had to be fought while you were sleeping just to keep you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then as we go through the day, we need to be in the habit, we need to be in the attitude of just stopping and saying, thank you, Lord. You drive down the street and you see somebody that's down and out, their life has been destroyed. You ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. Because that would be me were it not for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. And on and on and on we could go. But we need to be a thankful people. We need to learn to live thanking Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Again, Paul, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. Look at those that are in your life. How often do you thank God? For your husband, for your wife, for your children, for your grandchildren, for fellow church members. How often do you just say, thank you, Lord, and start making a list? Thank you, Lord, for putting them in my life. We have so much to be thankful for. It's not a question today of what we have to be thankful for. The question is, are we thankful? Or do we have to be reminded to give thanks unto God? Brother Larry, you come.